Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday evening, October 22nd. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you live tonight. What a great night it has been so far. And I'm here in our flagship radio station tonight, the studios of WLRM Radio, AM 1380. Going out, in addition to our flagship here in Memphis, Tennessee, and other local affiliate, going out to the AM stations of the Liberty News Radio Network across the country, and streaming live online tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, if you just checked your email, we played our cards close to the vest tonight. We didn't advance promote the Pat Buchanan appearance until just before showtime. Wanted to keep it a secret. Wanted it to be fun. If you just now got your email, or you're just now checking our website, or you're just now tuning in, and you're wondering where Pat Buchanan is, well, Pat's already come and gone. But he stayed a long time, 30, 40 minutes. Longest interview to date promoting his new book, Suicide of a Superpower, Will America Survive to 2025? Get it online tonight at Buchanan.org or Amazon.com. Or if you just can't wait to have it delivered, you can go to any of your local bookstores this evening. It is everywhere. If you are tuning in, though, and you missed Pat, don't forget that you can get it free for a week in the broadcast archives. All you got to do, just wait a couple of hours after the show tonight, and our great team, our support crew there at the network in Utah, will have tonight's broadcast archive posted for you. So, again, if you missed Pat tonight, don't worry. Don't worry. It'll be available for you probably before midnight, if not shortly thereafter. You go to thepoliticalcesspool.org anytime tomorrow, and I can guarantee you, you click on the archive tab, go to the archive page, and there it will be. And it's free there for a week. Remember, our most recent show is free to you in the broadcast archives for a week. If for some chance you go to the archive page tomorrow, and this shouldn't happen, but if you don't see tonight's show posted, all you got to do is refresh the page in your browser and it will certainly appear, and there you'll have it. If you want to listen to it again after a week, all you got to do is pay for the premium membership. I think it's $4.99 a month or $40 a year, and you get it, and you get all the archives 2 weeks ago and going back for many, many, many months. But listen, the Pat Buchanan interview will be there for you tomorrow or later tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and we encourage you to take a look at it. As I said, my wife and I were shopping last night. You know, we have an 18-month-old. She actually turns 19 months old in 2 days, and she always needs something. I mean, you know how babies are. And so we had to go get some diapers last night at Target. And as I said during the first hour, you know, Target isn't known. I mean, it's not Barnes & Noble's. You would never get Target confused with Barnes & Noble. Target does have a couple of aisles of books, though. And they have a handful of books. And Pat Buchanan's book was one of the ones that was there. And in fact, you know, when I saw the bookshelves, I actually went looking just to see if they were carrying Pat's book, because it just came out this week. And sure enough, they did have a few copies. And when I walked up to where it was, there was another guy there standing there, and he was thumbing through the book, looking at Pat Buchanan's Suicide of a Superpower. And I picked up a copy, and I was thumbing through it, even though I already had a copy here at the studio. And, you know, I really wanted to say to the guy, you know, if you like the book, I'm going to be interviewing Pat Buchanan tomorrow night on the show, if you want to tune in to 1380 at 6 o'clock. Any other guy in the world in my position probably would have done that, but I didn't. As Sam Dixon always says, he accuses me of being falsely modest. And so I was looking at the guy, and a part of me wanted to say it, but then I didn't want to come across as big-headed or egotistical or show-off, and so, you know, I didn't say it. Should have said it, probably. But you know, what am I going to do? I am modest. I'm very proud of the work that we do here on the Political Cesspool. Very proud to have friends like you and Pat and so many others. But, you know, that's just not who I am. I do my work. I do my duty. And then I let everybody else form their own assessments of me and the work that I do. Obviously, a lot of people hold me in very high regards, and for that I'm quite thankful. There are some, however, who don't. I get called a lot of names, and I'm not going to do a whole woe is me type of deal because I have a great life. I have a roof over my head. I don't have a lot of money in the bank, but I'm not going to starve. I mean, I can feed my wife. I can feed my child, and so I can keep the lights on for a couple of months. You know, so what? I can't complain. I have a good family, a good church, and I'm content. I'm happy, very happy with where I am. I'm happy to be able to bring this show to you, and I'm happy with all of the things that are going on in my personal life. But if you didn't know me, and you went and maybe you Googled my name or you Googled the show, you would read really horrible, nasty, and might I add, untrue things about me. You're going to read all of this typical liberal hyperbole about how James Edwards is a racist, how James Edwards is a bigot, how James Edwards is this and that. And there's nothing I can do about it. You know, it could be argued that someone who wasn't a celebrity or at least a public figure, you see, I'm a public figure, so I can't sue for slander and I can't sue for libel like some people could. I guess everybody is entitled to their own opinion. If people who hate me and hate what I stand for, which is really what's right for all Americans, a reclamation of America's destiny, all I want is for America to be as strong and as rooted in our Christian faith as we were in 1950. You know, if I was espousing the same issues that I do on the radio tonight in 1950, I would have been seen as really politically very moderate. But today I'm called all sorts of, you know, extremist terms. That's how I'm labeled. I can't do anything about it. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. I guess everybody's entitled to their opinion, however wrong their opinions may be. But I guarantee you, folks, you go on the internet in a day or two, and there's going to be really some gnashing of teeth over this interview that I had with Pat tonight. There are a lot of people out there who hate James Edwards, but there are even more people out there who hate Pat Buchanan, and I'm talking about people in the media, not good, decent, tax-paying, God-fearing Americans. Those type of people actually really like James and Pat. But for the people in the media who do hate Pat and they do hate me, Lord have mercy. You put the two of us together and there is going to be a lot of tears shed on the internet come Monday. You wait and see. You know, the last time Pat was on this show, the ADL, which is a billion-dollar, you know, enterprise, supposedly in position to stop defamation. Well, all they do is defame my name and assassinate my character with childish remarks. They issued a press release to all of the media in America the last time Pat was on, talking about how evil it was that Pat and me had a conversation. You wait and see, it's going to happen again. We'll talk more about it coming up. Everybody's a racist if they don't fall in line with the false gods, if they don't bend the knee to the false gods of political correctness. You're a racist. I'm a racist. You're a racist. Everybody's a racist. We'll talk more about it in a minute. Stay tuned.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Again, the phone lines are open tonight. I'd love to hear from you. We had calls in the second hour from all across the country. Alabama, Pittsburgh, other ports of call. Let's hear from you before the sand runs from the hourglass this evening. 1-866-986-NEWS. 1-866-986-NEWS. But we're going to shift gears again here temporarily for this segment. Want to bring back to the show a gentleman who was with us a couple of weeks back. Folks, you owe a great debt of gratitude to this man. I know if you're tuning in tonight, you're more than likely a fan of the Political Cesspool radio program, but let me tell you, there wouldn't be a Political Cesspool if it wasn't for Liberty News Radio, and there wouldn't be Liberty News Radio if it weren't for Sam Bushman, who's back with me tonight. Sam, welcome back. We can't have you on enough.
Thank you, sir. Barn Burner Radio, I love it.
We're having a good time tonight. Pat Buchanan and Sam Bushman, the best two guests money can buy.
Well, and if you want to talk about the Southern Poverty Law Center hating folks, you put Sam, James, and Pat together, and oh, man.
Yeah, that's right. You reminded me of something I already knew to be true. You, Sam, are a hate group in and of yourself, apparently.
Yes, sir. They say one of the Liberty News Radio is one of the biggest hate groups in the state of Utah, and I'm a group of one, sir.
Yeah, you're the owner and sole proprietor of Liberty News Radio, and so therefore you are a de facto hate group, a one-man hate group. You know, at least there's three of us, you know, a handful of us here in the cesspool. I've got a couple of other co-hosts, but you managed to make a group of one. That's impressive.
Well, the problem is, you see, when we do talk radio on Liberty Roundtable, my show, we have a lot of guests that they hate. James is one of them. Sheriff Richard Mack's one of them. I mean, the list just goes on. Joel Skousen's one of them. Larry Pratt Gun Owners is one of them. And it just goes right on down the list of everybody they hate.
And, of course, Pat Buchanan's another one. And you know, we had Pat tonight, and I want to be sure to get this out very quickly before we get into the meat of this interview. You're going to be having Pat on, when is it, next week on Liberty Roundtable?
It'll be the 27th.
The 27th. So that's coming up, when is that, Thursday?
Oh, I'll have to look.
No, I can't do the math. I mean, 22 plus 5 equals 27. What day is that? I don't know. That's a good question. But anyway, folks, if you want another live interview with Pat Buchanan, my friend Sam Bushman will have him on his program.
Yeah, the 27th is Thursday. We just looked it up.
There you go. So Thursday at LibertyRoundtable.com, his show airs from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Time every Monday through Friday. Obviously, this Thursday, Pat will be back on the airwaves here with Liberty News Radio, and we're looking forward to that. I know you kind of confirmed that in between the breaks tonight when Pat was on.
Yes, sir. He'll be ready to. He'll be fired up and ready to go.
All right, and I know you were doing just the same, mingling with other assorted haters in ne'er-do-well in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, a few days ago, including one of America's most vicious, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, you know, the leader of the Black Brigade.
It was incredible. I got a chance to speak about the media. He who owns the media makes the rules was the topic of my conversation, and bottom line is I trashed the top talk show hosts and Fox News, and it just basically showed America with their own news of what they really stand for and what they really do. The more constitutional American is, the more they want to slaughter them. The more you believe in God, family, and country, the more they want to pick you apart and say you're no good, you're a deceiver, you're a skinhead, you're a racist, you're, I don't know, whatever they'll go to. They want to lie, cheat, steal, plunder, all at the expense of the people, and we just had to expose that. So that was my speech. Then Chuck Baldwin had a chance to speak along with many others. After that event at the Constitution Party committee meetings there that we spoke at, I got the chance to drive up to Kalispell, Montana, and go to Chuck's service on Sunday. He has, it's called Liberty Fellowship. About 150, 200 people were there. He gave an incredible talk, and he basically talked about the importance of understanding that, you know what, together we succeed, we'll hang separately if we don't stick together.
When I talked to you a few days ago, I knew you were going to speak at the Constitution Party meeting there in Idaho. When you told me that you actually drove and I believe had lunch with Chuck Baldwin, of course, who has been a guest on the show previously, and then attended his sermon. Chuck was recently down here in Pensacola, Florida, and I say down here, that's certainly much closer to Memphis than Kalispell, Montana. And
yes,
for all these years, I missed hearing one of those fire-breathing sermons from Chuck Baldwin, and I always regretted that after
well,
he moved.
Keep in mind, he has all of his sermons online.
That's
if
true.
You go to ChuckBaldwinLive.com, you can watch them live from the event. So they were videoing live the whole event while I was there.
That's true, and that's certainly a great consolation, but at the end of the day, kind of like, you know, watching a basketball game as opposed to sitting front row for a basketball game.
Good point.
You know, I envy you, Sam, for being able to go to an authentic Chuck Baldwin sermon, and then, of course, breaking bread with the man. And you had a great time, and much was accomplished. A lot of great people were there, and I know you're going to be talking about that more on your program, and there's some other things going on behind the scenes as well.
Well, we're expecting you to fly to the state of Utah, and what Chuck Baldwin's calling the Rocky Mountain States now is the last American readout.
What, is that in Utah?
No, just in the Rocky Mountain states, really. And the readout kind of means, you know what? It's kind of a bastion of freedom, kind of a holdout for liberty. And so I'm expecting James Edwards to come to Utah. You can hang out with us for a while, and then maybe you can take a trip up to see Chuck, too. It's quite far, though. It's like 12 hours from where I'm at.
You know,
it's a big country, buddy.
Here in the South, everything's close. You know, we're smaller states. Even though Tennessee's kind of long and skinny, you can get to Mississippi in, you know, 20 minutes. You can get to Arkansas in 20 minutes from Memphis. Everything's a little more clustered. Out there, it's like countries, you know, these states. You know, Utah to Montana is like, you know, Memphis to...
Oh, yeah, it's 650 miles, man.
It's like Memphis to, you know, South Florida. it's a whole other world out there. And, you know, I've been deprived, Sam. The only time I ever spent time in Utah was when my airplane... I had a layover there briefly on my way to Portland, Oregon. I've got to spend, you know, but seeing it coming in, I said, you know, this is a place I'd like to come back to. Salt Lake City was where we had the layover. I actually talked to my wife just a few days ago. You know, she's always looking for new places to go, and she's never been out west. And so I told her that the great Sam Bushman, the one-man hate group himself, had issued to us an invitation to come out, and, you know, it's beginning to percolate. It's beginning to percolate.
They call those hate-tations, sir.
Hate-tations, outstanding. Yes, absolutely.
Now, your wife will like the Rocky Mountain states. There's beautiful mountains, bigger than she's probably ever seen.
Sure.
The outdoors are just big as all get out. She'll really enjoy that kind of stuff, I think.
Well, we're going to do it. You know, she always twists my arm. I'm kind of, you know, I'm one of those guys that's stuck in his way. I'd go to, you know, Orlando three times a year for vacation every time for the rest of my life because that's where I liked to go when I was a kid. And I'm just like that. I'm obsessive. I'm compulsive. But she's not. I mean, she never likes to go to the same place twice, and she really wants to go out west. She wants to see the Rockies. She wants to see things she's never seen before, kind of like the Willie Nelson song. And so, you know, we're going to make it happen. And, you know, to share company with good people makes the trip that much more enticing.
And we're looking forward to it. You're right when you mentioned that Chuck Baldwin is well known for the Black Regiment. Now, this doesn't have to do with race. It has to do with religion and righteous preachers standing in the pulpit talking about the principles of God, family, and country, and liberty, and what makes America great, morality, etc. And Chuck is one of the lead men when it comes to the modern-day Black Regiment.
That's right. And Sam, I don't have it offhand. Do you know the website where folks can get more information about that? Because this is really one of the greatest initiatives going right now is
ChuckBaldwinLive.com. ChuckBaldwinLive.com.
ChuckBaldwinLive.com. Check it out, folks. Of course, you know, you'll remember Chuck Baldwin. You might have voted for him in 2008, as I did, for President of the United States. If not, you've heard him on this show before, and you've... seen his work and read his articles. Great, a prolific writer, great columnist. Sam, I know we have less than a minute left in this segment. Pat Buchanan's coming up on your show next Thursday, as we mentioned. What else can folks learn about on the Liberty Roundtable in the week to come?
You know, we have all kinds of people. I don't know if you know who Matt Shea is, but Matt Shea is a state legislator from the state of Washington, and he's going to be on the show Monday morning, second hour as well. Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, third hour. So, see, we just got the roundtable full of guests all week long, every week. And, of course, we're going to be adding, or as you know, Chuck Baldwin's one of our frequent monthly guests as well, but we'll be adding James Edwards as well.
Listen, folks, if you like the cesspool, you'll love the Liberty Roundtable Monday through Friday, libertyroundtable.com, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Time. Sam, also syndicated across the country. A great, great show. So between, again, as I said last time Sam was on, between him and me, we got six of your 7 days covered. You're going to rest on Sunday like the good Lord intended anyway. So, Sam, thanks for coming back on with us, my friend. Always good to talk to you. The segment always flies by.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be back with more right after this.
We've been working hard, babe. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. You know, there's something I want to bring to the audience's attention. I actually even called my attorney this week to discuss it with him. We have been subjected, and Sam Bushman and I were talking about this in the last segment, to any number of ridiculous character assassinations because you talk openly. You know, take that interview, for instance, with Pat Buchanan tonight. I think that was a very professional, very well done, very articulate, frank, and candid discussion on issues. Again, at the risk of sounding repetitive, I encourage you to Google Pat Buchanan, James Edwards, political cesspool, suicide of a superpower, any of those keywords on Monday, and there's going to be all sorts of just absurd articles on the internet, if not in newspapers, about what we had to say tonight. I can remember in 2008, the ADL issued a press release. As I said, it was sent out to every news agency in the country, the ADL, denouncing the fact that Pat had come on to promote that book, and we're going to get it again. And we're going to be called all of these names. You know, as I said, you know, you want to know who James Edwards is. I know that the people who denounce me have never met me. They've never spoken to me. In fact, truth be known, they've probably never even taken the time to listen to my show. They know that I'm a conservative, and they know that they don't like conservatism, and the fact that I do tackle some taboo topics on this show makes me even more contemptible in their eyes. And so they just write these articles, and if they get really ambitious, they'll take a sentence or two out of a blog entry from 2 years ago and quote it out of context and use that as proof. But even then, it, you know, it's really nothing because I've never written anything that I'm ashamed of. You know, I've never written anything that I wouldn't say on the air or to you or to anyone else. And so I've been getting this for years. But the ADL did something recently that really shocked me. And I'm going to bring it up on the show tonight because I certainly have nothing to hide. Again, who is James Edwards? James Edwards is a guy that goes to church every Sunday. James Edwards is a guy that works for a living. James Edwards is a guy that not only pays his taxes, but overpays his taxes, you know, just to be sure that the government gets every nickel that they, you know, think they deserve from me. I love my country. I love my family. I have a great relationship with my parents. The worst trouble I've ever been in was a speeding ticket back in the, you know, late 90s, I guess. That's the worst trouble I've ever been. I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. I do this show because I want to give back. I want to stand up for what I believe in. I want to, you know, live up to the example set by my grandparents and by my ancestors. And I want to fight for what I think is right. And it's just what I think is right. If you agree with me, great. If you disagree with me, that's okay too. But don't write a lot of silly nonsense about me. And I know, you know, okay, the show has become popular. We've become well known. It's just par for the course that you get attacked. I'm not crying about that. I don't really care anymore. You know, it was shocking in 2004, 2005, when we first went on the air. It was a little bit shocking to pick up the local Memphis newspaper and read a front page article above the fold about how this, you know, racist had gotten on the air. I'd never been called anything. I'd never been, you know, made the news at all until that time. And that's a little rattling at first. But I didn't cave. I didn't apologize. I didn't acquiesce. I didn't follow my sword. Well, what's the point? Well, you know, they've been doing that and much worse ever since 2005. So what's the point? Well, the point is, to get back to my story, the ADL did something recently that is unprecedented even for them and for the attacks that they've inflicted upon me over the years. They have an article up on their website, and I'm going to put this out publicly because, again, I have nothing to be ashamed of. I have nothing to hide. They did an article on the so-called National Socialist Movement, a movement that obviously I have no association with and know nothing about. But there's an article on the ADL website tonight, and I plan to post this onto our website soon, that apparently they're documenting some sort of a neo-Nazi rally that took place in October of 2010. And in this article, the ADL lists as a fact that I was in attendance at this neo-Nazi rally. And before you think, oh, well, they're just calling, you know, a meeting of, you know, like-minded people, a neo-Nazi rally. Now, this was a real neo-Nazi rally. I mean, this was, you know, the people that have, you know, swastikas tattooed in their foreheads, people dressed up as Klansmen and all that sort of stuff that you and me and everyone else really honestly shouldn't have anything to do with. And they said I was there. They said I was there. And I wasn't. And not only was I not there, I have never gone to a rally like that. And I was not even in the city that they mentioned it took place in that year. They said it took place in Knoxville, Tennessee in August of 2010. I didn't even go to Knoxville in 2010. And I've never been to a neo-Nazi rally with the people that those kind of people that were there. And so that's unprecedented. You know, it's one thing for them to have an opinion and for them to label me all of these things that I don't think I am. But it's another thing to list something as fact when it is absolutely, provably inaccurate and false. And so I demeaned myself. I did something that I promised myself I would never do. I engaged in correspondence with the ADL. And I said, you know what? You need to take this down. And I said it very respectfully. I wrote a very nice letter. I just said, you know, you're inaccurate. I don't know where your source is on that, but I wasn't there, and I would appreciate a retraction and an apology for you getting this so wrong. Because you know what's going to happen. Now, the next hit piece on James Edwards is going to include this quote from the ADL that presents as fact that I was at a neo-Nazi rally at a certain place and time that just didn't happen. And the silence has been deafening. The ADL has not responded whatsoever. They didn't, you know, tell me to take a hike. They didn't say, I'm sorry. They didn't, and they certainly didn't pull it off. I talked to my lawyer about it. To engage in a libel suit against the ADL would be a fool's errand, number one, because I am a public figure, so libel laws don't really apply, even if they were maliciously presenting something as fact that is untrue. How do you fight an organization that's worth $1 billion when, you know, you don't even, you know, bring in donations to your program the median income of an average American working man? You know, they have all the money in the world to fight a court case. I don't have any. But I still, you know, I've overlooked for years the slander and the and all of this name-calling that they do. You know, what they've done, and the reason they do this, is because they want to intimidate me to discontinue my work. They think they're going to get the best of me. They think they're going to be able to finally, you know, just, you know, batter me down enough to where I'll say, okay, well, it's just not worth it. I mean, this is too much abuse. You know, I'd be better off just to go home and never do this again. Well, as I say in The Patriot, in Mel Gibson's great movie, I'd be better off, but the cause wouldn't. And so I'm going to continue on. But it's really unprecedented for them to say I was at a place that I believe they know that I wasn't. And if I was, I would say it. You know, anything that I do publicly. And if I really went to a rally like that, I would have the courage and the integrity and honesty to admit it to you. But the fact of the matter is that I didn't. So I issued the ADL now a challenge. If you refuse to retract this and you refuse to respond to me, either in written communication or a phone call, I gave you my phone number, you have my email address, you know who I am, you know how to get in touch with me. If you refuse to retract your erroneous report, I challenge you to provide evidence in the form of pictures or video. Hell, even a witness would do, that I was at this rally that you claim. If you can prove that I was, I will donate $1,000 to the Anne Frank Museum. And if you fail to prove that I was, I challenge you to donate $1,000 to the United Daughters of the Confederacy. My money's good. And I challenge you to do that. But I'm just saying, you know, with regards to Pat Buchanan coming on the show tonight, you know, this could be something that a newspaper picks up on. This is the evil that comes from the left. They don't play fair, and they demand that we play by the rules. Well, I wouldn't want to make false claims against people that I disagree with like they do. But folks, this is what we're up against. I appreciate your support, and I wanted to get that out there because it could be, you know, forthcoming anyway. The ADL refuses to take it down. They won't respond to me. This is what I have to deal with. But your support makes it all worthwhile. Stay tuned. We're going to wrap up the show after this.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, final segment of the night, and what a great night it's been. I'll tell you, it's my wife and I are going to a masquerade party. It's one of those few nights I haven't slept past 6 a.m. in the last 19 months, coinciding with the birth of my one and only child. It's a very small sacrifice, though, folks. For those of you who have kids, you'll agree with me. Very small sacrifice indeed. But tonight's a great night all the way around. It's a great time of year. You got the holidays coming up, Christmas coming up, Halloween right around the corner, Thanksgiving not far away. Great weather outside. Pat Buchanan on the show tonight. And then, as I mentioned, as soon as I leave the studio tonight, my wife and I are going to a masquerade party. My parents are babysitting this evening. So I'm actually going to have a date. I'm going to have a date for the first time in God only knows how long. It's got to go back, you know, pre-pregnancy, I guess. So it's been a while. So I'm looking forward to tonight. A good night. And it's going to be a good week. Waiting for the fallout. Again, you can cast your vote at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Who will be the first to denounce Pat's appearance with us tonight? ADL, SPLC, Media Matters. You know, Media Matters, I remember those clowns, you know, they tried to put together some sort of a petition to MSNBC to fire Pat. You know, last time he came on, I think 100 people signed it. You know, didn't go anywhere, of course. But, you know, Pat is a guy, I guess coming full circle now to where we were at the beginning of the show. He deserves your support. I've said before, you know, I remember where I was. I was 18 years old, and I was watching Crossfire. And the more I watched Crossfire, the more I liked Pat Buchanan. And then when he announced in 1999 that he was going to seek the presidency again, I got involved and worked my way up the ladder there in his campaign. Obviously, that didn't end the way we wanted it to. But after his campaign was over, you know, the bug was in me. And I couldn't stop. You know, that had run its course, that year and a half long activity, campaigning for and with Pat Buchanan, serving as a delegate at his convention in Long Beach, California, when he won the Reform Party nomination, and getting him on the ballot in Tennessee and serving as the treasurer of his campaign in this state and everything else. When it was over, I just couldn't, you know, go back to the way things were before. So I looked for other ways to apply myself. And then I ran for state representative in Tennessee in 2002. And I was naive enough to believe that, you know, you could do things on principle and win politically at the ballot box. And I was a conservative. My family is a Republican family. But instead of run as a Republican, I ran as an independent, you know, because like Pat, you know, Pat was in the Reform Party at that time. And, you know, I wasn't about to go back to the Republican Party that he had campaigned against. So I ran as an independent, you know, by God. And I lost. But I'll tell you, I ran against the Speaker of the House. That was 2002. I was 21, 22 years old in that campaign. Didn't know what I was doing. But, man, I campaigned hard. I still have the pair of shoes in my closet. All right, they're in the attic now. Ran through two pair of shoes, literally holes through the soles of those shoes. And I've still got those. I was going to save those for posterity. I didn't win, but I ran as an independent, a political nobody in 2002, 22-year-old kid. And I got 20% of the vote against the Speaker of the House. There was no Democrat running, and I got 20% of the vote. And I was impressed with that after the fact. You know, I wanted to win, and I thought I would win. We spent $10,000. He spent $100,000. It's kind of like now in radio. I spend $20,000 a year to keep the show on the air. The people who attack me spend, you know, $200 million. What am I going to do? You know, I'm going to stand on principle. I'm going to get called names. You know, obviously now even they're taking it to another level and in issuing blatantly false stories as fact. You know, but bring it on. You know, I believe that I'm right. I believe that I'm on the right side. I believe that, you know, my cause is God's cause. I believe that what I'm doing is congruent with my faith. And so after Pat, you know, I ran for office, and after I ran for office, I made enough of a name for myself in the local community that I got offered a shot at hosting a radio program. And not only just hosting a radio program, they're going to let me have creative influence over it. So I named it the Political Cesspool because I wanted it to be catchy. I didn't want to name it the James Edwards Show, because again, I'm modest, you know, and that's too common. I didn't want it to be about me. I wanted it to be about the issues. And I thought the Political Cesspool would be a catchy title. So 2 years after my failed bid for office and 4 years after Pat Buchanan was unsuccessful in his final presidential bid, I started this show. 7 years later, I'm still here. 7 years from now, I plan to still be here. And we're going to continue to have great shows for you. And we're going to continue to do good work. But it was that broken trail that started with the Buchanan campaign through my own run for office. And now in 2004, the show started. And by the way, folks, the very first day that the Political Cesspool went on the air was October 26th, 2004. That's 4 days away. We are 4 days shy of turning 7 years old. And folks, we have been tormented from the very beginning by these multi-million dollar organizations, these liberal organizations, these dishonest and ungodly organizations. And I do say that they are ungodly because I believe that they are. You know, I might be wrong. I don't think I am wrong on the issues, but even if I am, that doesn't make me a liar because I say what I believe. There's a very difference between being wrong and being a liar. Big difference. And you can say what you want about me. You can call me names. Your opinion is that. But stooping to the levels that they're stooping to now is unprecedented. Every time I think I've seen it all, they do something more. But that's okay. That's okay, because at the end of the night, you know, I go home to a great family. I have great fans. I have great friends that support me. I don't do this for a career. I don't collect a regular salary hosting this radio show. In fact, I pay out of pocket sometimes to do it if the donations come in at a shortfall. I do it because of what makes me happy, and I do it because I think it's the very least I can do in service to a cause far greater than ourselves. You know, God, family, republic, the cause of liberty. You know, yes, there's no doubt about it. I put my family first, and that includes my extended family, you know, our ethnic group. I think that we should have the same rights and privileges to unite together, as I talked about with Pat in the first hour, as every other ethnic minority do. But this whole thing about being shouted down as racist and bigot and white supremacist and neo-Nazi, you know, those are just shut up words. They're not applicable anymore. Pat said it too. You know, if you called somebody that in the 1950s, that was a very serious charge. Today, it's just anybody you disagree with, you call them that to try to cower them into a corner. David Stern, the Jewish commissioner of NBA basketball, was called a plantation owner this week by Bryant Gumbel, a black journalist for HBO Sports. David Stern. Let me tell you something about David Stern. And listen, I'm on David Stern's side as far as this NBA lockout goes. But David Stern has given black athletes all of the jobs in professional basketball. Over 90% of the people playing basketball in the NBA today are black. So it's a 90% non-white sport. In addition to that, and I'm saying this to make a point, The average NBA player makes $5 million per season. I'm talking about average across the board. You take all of the 400-plus NBA players, you put them together. The average salary is $5 million plus per season. So the NBA is 90% black. David Stern and his league pays these players over $5 million per year, to play basketball. David Stern also serves on the board of the NAACP, but he's still a racist. They are still calling him a racist. David Stern, Jewish commissioner of basketball, 90% black league. They get paid $5 million a year. He serves in the NAACP, but he's still a racist, according to Bront Gumbel. Listen, folks, these terms mean nothing anymore. If David Stern is a racist, then everybody in America is a racist, I assure you. And I don't say this to slight David Stern, because as I said, I believe he is very intelligent and quite right as far as this lockout goes. I am on David Stern's side in this NBA lockout, but he needs to read my book. He needs to read my book because, you know, he's getting the same treatment that I get. And if he gets it, everybody's going to get it. If they disagree with you, this is just what they call you, and you got to get used to it. Folks, we're out of time tonight. Again, if you tuned in late and you missed Pat Buchanan, what a great interview. This was a show for the archives, if there ever was one. And speaking of those archives, I encourage you to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org a couple of hours after tonight's show, and we're about to wrap it up. Check it out. The Pat Buchanan interview will be there free for the next week, and then after that, you can pay a small fee and get access to the extended archives. For the rest of my crew here in Memphis and the good folks in Utah, I'm James Edwards, wishing you a good night. God bless you, everybody. I'll see you next Saturday.
Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.